Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. When reading this particular passage, which, by the way, is found in Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and is our text for this morning, you can almost envision the people of today. There are many who tend to appear as though they are weary of God, tired of God for whatever reason. Those who have put on the commitment or taken on the commitment to be a Christian need to realize and understand that Christianity is a commitment to God for life. So I think it's very fitting that we ask the question this morning, are you weary of God? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we see that there will be few that make it. When we contemplate the world's population and we look out and we say, you know, there's got to be a lot of Christians in this world. People are going about teaching and preaching the Word of God. People are being reached with the gospel, and yes, that's so, and we're glad that it's so. But if you look at that number and compare it with all of the millions of people in the world, there are so very few that will find it, and even fewer that will continue therein. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few from Israel honored their commitment to God. We can see as we study Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, that they made a commitment to God. Now, they enter into that covenant relationship a little different than we did. They were born physically into the family of Abraham, specifically the family of Israel. And because of that, they were the people of God. But that also carried with it a commitment, and few honored that commitment. In Romans chapter 9, verse 27, we see the Apostle Paul writing as he was guided by the Spirit, and he told him, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Of all of those who were born into that particular family. And we know that the promise of God to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob was that their descendants would be as numerous as the sands of the sea. But only a remnant was to be saved. I wonder why that is. Because only a remnant did not grow weary of God. When we contemplate the church today, we must realize and understand that there are many who want in, but they will not put forth the effort until too late. What do I mean by that? I don't mean that they're knocking down the doors to come. We can see that this morning as we see several empty pews. But when the promise of God is fulfilled and heaven is attained by those who have been faithful, there will be those who would be desirous of being there who have not put forth any effort. In Luke chapter 13, verses 23 beginning, we see a question asked of the Lord, one that we might very well ask ourselves today. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? It's a valid question. It's an important question. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Listen to what he says. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. This was spoken to God's people, Israel. This was spoken to those people who did not put forth the effort to serve God faithfully under that law, and would not put forth the effort to become part of the church. Notice what he says to them. Very much the same thing that he will say to those who have been unfaithful in this life. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why? Well, they've not put forth the effort. Why did they not put forth the effort? Perhaps that they have grown weary of God. It's not that God is trying to keep people out of the church. We can see this as we turn to Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. The verse that goes along with the song that we just sang. We'll see that God is pleased to offer a kingdom. A place where we might gather. A place that we might be a part of. A place wherein we might be saved. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, we've been given this kingdom. And the reason that this kingdom has been offered is because God wants people to change. You know, we arrive on this earth and we begin to learn. And as we begin to learn, we begin to make decisions. And as we make decisions, we decide that we're going to decide which way we're going to go. And as we decide to decide which way we're going to go, we go. But it's not always the way that God would have us go. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we do see that God wants people to change. It tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so many people have taken this passage and looked at it and says, it's not the will of God that any should perish. But they fail to read the last part of it, which absolutely necessary requires a change from us. That we come to repentance and not be weary of God. And the beautiful thing is that God's willing to forgive. In Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 19, again going back to God's people under the old law, the Israelites, we see, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thy heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. How wonderful! How pleasant it is to realize and understand that God forgives sin. But there's a condition there. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 23, as it applied to those people, God's people under the old law. The principle applies to us today. Notice what it said there. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, that's repent, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? It is absolutely imperative, and was also before Israel, that they turn from their sins. Today, it is absolutely imperative that we turn away from our sins, that we repent. It's one of the principles eternal with God. He has always required repentance. But what do people do? They become weary of God. Because of that, as we continue in Ezekiel chapter 18, picking up in verse 30, we find out that he will judge them. He says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Again, that hasn't changed, has it? In this law, in this day and age, under the New Testament age, those who stand before God, and by the way, that will be everyone, will be judged according to what they have done in their bodies relative to that law. But those people, it was told, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Would you not want iniquity to be your ruin? It's possible, even today. He says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. This is a plea from God to man that has been going on since very early on. Turn. Repent. But people are weary of God. And because they are weary of God, some of them do not last. God has no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, especially them that die in sin, because that soul is forever lost. It doesn't matter if it was under the old law and they didn't keep the commandments, that soul was lost. If it's under the new law and they have not obeyed the gospel and they do not keep the commandments, that soul is lost. But yet people still weary of God. And there are many reasons why people don't last. One of the best ways of explaining this is explained by our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. And we know this is the parable of the sower. We're all very familiar with it. How that the sower went out and he put seed upon the ground. And that's what a sower does. But he says unto them, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Sometimes when people look at this, they say, well, you know, the devil took the word out of my heart. Not unless you let him. He has no power over you unless you allow it. But look at verse 20. But he that receives seed in the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There are those who hear the word of God, recognize it as such, are obedient unto it, and then become weary of God. And they allow themselves to fall because they have no root. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he become unfruitful. Now we all know folks who fit that category. Those who have at one time been staunch supporters of truth and right. And then allow the cares of this world, the things of this world, those things which a lot of people deem as more important than God. It makes us ask the question, are they weary of God? Verse 23 then tells us that there are those who are faithful and continue to be faithful. But he that receiveth the word into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100 and some 60 and some 30. Not everybody is going to be as effective in the kingdom as everyone else. But I'll tell you who will be most effective. Those who do not become weary of God. Some are not truly converted by the word. Maybe perhaps they are only converted to the idea of being saved. You stop and think about it. When you contemplate your soul's eternity, would you not want to be saved? Yeah. But are you willing to be faithful to God for the long haul? Or do you just become weary? Some are not truly committed, and because of that, they become temporary. Some are deceived and are pulled back into sin. But only the ones who hear and understand and do are productive. These are the ones that are really committed, who do not weary of God. But the problem is that people won't see the problem as being them. I don't know how many times we hear people blame someone else, particularly God, for the things that's going on in the world. We see a tragic situation where someone goes into a fast food restaurant and opens up with a submachine gun and just shoots indiscriminately among the crowd, killing young and old. And invariably the first thing that comes out of the people's mouth who survived this or who witnessed this was, why did God let this happen? The same thing is true with people who become weary of God. They blame God. In Micah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, again, we see what Micah says to the people there. Hear ye now what the Lord has said. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. We should not weary of God. We should proclaim it loudly so that all will know. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and be the strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. He says, what have I done to thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. People weary of God because they don't get things their way, because they don't receive the blessings that they think they should receive. They stop praying and they weary of God because God does not answer the prayer in the same way in which they want it answered. The people there in Micah's day wearied of serving God. This comes about because we forget who benefits us, who takes care of us, who provides for us all of the blessings of life. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 4, they were reminded of these things. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Stop and think about it. As they were going about through the wilderness, through their own fault, by the way, they began to blame Moses. And when that didn't work, they began to blame God. And they several times said, you brought us out here to kill us. How soon they forgot the pain and the suffering while they were in Egypt. It comes from wanting to sin. Verse 5 of Micah 6. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. There are those who seem to be absolutely bent upon sinning, living life the way they want to live life. Perhaps it's because they are weary of God. You know, some come to despise God without even realizing it. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, we see this. He says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of friends, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? The underlying fault here was that they didn't want to give to God. They had become weary of God. They wanted the blessings that God bestowed upon them. But they didn't want to give to him. We continue reading in verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God has never asked more of us than we can produce. He's never asked more of us than we can do. He asked in verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balance and with the bag of deceitful weights? When we weary of God, our service to God is very limited. But this situation isn't limited to Israel. Nothing has changed. It still exists today. Christians today sometimes forget that they were rescued from sin. And then they begin to weary of God. They get bored with the things that God asked them to do. The little bit of service that God requires of us. They desire some sin back into their lives. Perhaps they think Christianity is not fun anymore. I have actually had someone to say to me, you know, Christianity is not very fun. And I opened the Bible and said, show me where it was promised to be fun. Oh, we're to have joy in our lives. And if we're Christians and we don't have joy in our lives, then we have a problem, a major problem. And the beginning of the problem is we have wearied of God. They should ask themselves a question. Because they no longer honor God. Because they no longer serve God. Ask yourself this question. If you find yourself wearying of God because Christianity is no longer fun, is hell going to be fun? Because it's a certainty. Little do they realize how tiresome they must be to God. Have you ever stopped and thought about it? We hear one person griping to us, complaining, perhaps about the other brethren, perhaps about the work that has to be done, perhaps about this or perhaps about that. And we think, man, they're just on my nerves. What about God? He has everybody complaining to him, griping. I'm sure that we must be tiresome to God. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 22 and following, we say, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifice. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. We need to be aware of the fact that God's commandments are not grievous, but there are still those who will not obey. There are still those who will not continue to be faithful, and it's because they are weary of God. But the wonderful thing that even then God is willing to forgive if folks repent, if folks will serve Him, if folks will do what God has said to do. In Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 25, He said, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. And then He says in verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. So who's at fault? Is it the one offering salvation? Or the ones who quit serving God? You know, our sins are against God. In Psalms 51:4, we see this. The fact that God still forgives when we repent proves that God is just, that God is merciful, that God loves us. The psalmist writes, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In the law, we are given those things which God has provided for us. So He has told us in advance, and excuses are removed. There's no places for excuses. There's no place for excuses. In Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 22, we see Paul writing regarding the law as he was guided by the Spirit. And he said, now we know that the things soever, we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We are taught what is right. We are taught what is wrong, and it comes from the law of God. And our failure doesn't mean that God has failed. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing as guided by the Spirit, says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? God cannot fail. God does not weary of us. Micah realized that we create our own way to God. We cannot earn God's praise. And he realized that what God asked of man is really straightforward and simple. No different than today. Yet people still are weary. Again, Micah, in Micah chapter 6, said, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Don't be weary of God. Don't become weary of serving God. Faithfully serve Him and do His will. True rest for the soul is found in God. And that's why that there is no excuse for anyone's failure except that person. If we become weary of God, it's on us. If you become weary of God, it's on you. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, that the rest for the soul is found in God. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Unfortunately, it's a burden that some will not take. But we need to realize and understand that when we make a commitment to God, it's a lifetime commitment. There's no place to get off. And we may become weary of people. We may become weary of the actions of people. But please, do not become weary of God. God has provided in His plan the means by which we can become His children. And perhaps today there are those here who have never heard the gospel plan of salvation. You're going to hear it in just a moment. Know that as you hear these things, they come directly from the Word of God. They are properly applied. And there are those teachings, those things, which will help you to come into a covenant relationship with God, to be His child, to make that commitment for life, that we might not be weary of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33, we see that we are to hear the Word of God. It was said, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we here all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." We're told in John 8:24 that we are to believe. Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we're taught to repent. Where we find in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that we are to confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we're told in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 that baptism is necessary. Saul was told in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then we are to remain faithful unto death. Those brethren in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, they were told how that they might receive a crown of life. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Perhaps this morning there are those here who have become weary of God, have allowed sin to enter into their lives, and in so doing have separated between themselves and God. They also need to shake off that weariness, recommit themselves to God, return to Him through repentance and prayer. We're taught this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." If you need to obey the gospel this morning, don't wait. Become a child of God. Let us help you. If you have slipped and fallen and you need to return, please, don't wait. And whatever you do, don't become weary with God. Let us stand and let us sing the invitation song.